The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
The Frozen Herald comes around to the other side and swings once again at the swinging chain.
Good job, Herald.
By the time it gets to it, it's nothing to do.
Good boy, Harry.
Kellen, how about you?
I'm going to send those lights zooming off as a bonus action. I think I can move them like 60 feet so I can get over to the door.
Okay, so do you want to keep them in a horizontal line?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Whoosh.
Whoosh, it shall... Whoa, I forgot that clicking and dragging on that lights layer makes new lights. It does not let me select lights.
All the lights!
60 feet. Ooh, I don't get a measuring thing for this either.
Pull the lever!
Pull the lever!
Can I see the door yet?
Nope. As those lights go to the south, you see them move past the four statues in the middle of the plaza, and they're now just on the other side of those statues.
Big fucking maps.
Quit being so slow.
It's true.
I cast Assault the DM.
There's definitely Assault.
Bat. That's just a bonus action, so I've got two moves. Can I move diagonal southwest 25?
Like so?
Yes. Am I seeing anything yet?
You see those pillars. You see the corpse of the Dracolich in front of the stairs to the library. And a couple other skeleton bones piled around, but that's
see
it.
Invisibility, I don't see anything.
Nope. You don't hear anything either. All the noise is coming from back behind you in the chamber.
I don't know if I've got anything else to help me figure it out. Even went this way. He may be sitting in that chamber, but I didn't see him. He can't go anywhere.
You don't have locate person or anything, do you?
Man, if only somebody in your party did and you were able to communicate with your party what you were doing.
I'm pretty sure before I left, I said, hey, I'm going to go find the vampire. Specifically to my party.
I'm pretty sure you just flew off.
Yeah, you just flew
off.
You
said, Kellen's going to go do this, and then you were gone.
Roll the footage back, because Jeff literally said to me, you're going to go find him, and I said yes.
Yes, roll the beautiful bean footage.
You guys can yell at me for the things that I do. I accept that. Don't yell at me for the things I don't do. I'll go another 25 diagonally. Double move. It's a bonus action to move the lights.
Okay.
Yes, we need to deal lots of magic and force damage right now, and our wizard has run off.
We're doing okay so far.
You guys have smashed the chain literally with no input from the thing I sent back to help you with.
And I am out of all of my extra force damage.
Oh my, if only you had a magical weapon that dealt 32 damage or some shit.
That was the force damage, pulling half the weight there.
I'm assuming you're going to tell me I still don't see anything.
You do not, no. Moments later, in the Elm Chamber, the third chain appears. What? Okay. Just deleted my line for some reason. I'll draw a new line. Whoa, and it's a squiggly line, apparently. Wait, the other line is still there. What's going on?
Squiggle, squiggle, do, 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 do.
Okay,
do,
we're not do. Going to try to rotate the line. We're just going to draw a new line. That's going to be easier. New line. Okay, Rook, your turn.
I will keep swinging magical hammers.
Oh, yeah. It's hammer time.
A 25 and a 20, unnatural to hit.
That'll work fine as you hit an immoving chain. It's not immovable. It's immobile. That's the word.
Ooh, that movie The Green Knight's finally going to come out.
Yes,
back.
And I am so fucking excited.
It looks so good.
It does.
Oh, man. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
20 total magical damage.
Very much excited.
What was it? How much?
20 magical.
20. All right.
And then Claw will 25 to hit with 8 force damage.
How much?
8 force.
8. Okay.
And that's my turn.
Okay, then Nushka's up.
Nushka's going to keep hacking away.
Actually, Nushka's not up. I mean, you are shortly, but before that, you hear sudden loud pounding on a door to the west. And then the sound of splintering wood.
Fascinating.
Don't say anything just yet.
But we do hear that.
Yep. You're up, Nushka.
Okay. I'll keep hacking away, but I'll yell out, "Hey, Kellen, I think somebody's back this way."
Fuck.
It echoes in from the other room.
Fuck.
Now, he sounds way more irritating than that.
It's almost as if maybe you shouldn't always leave the party.
Almost as if.
24 to hit. 21 damage.
I imagine.
Wow. Double crit. What's that get me?
One crit.
I don't know. That math doesn't check out.
I imagine.
Rolled again. If you get 3 crits, it just automatically shears the chain.
Math is happening. I can see it.
I can smell it. It's like burning hair.
Math smells like burning hair.
I'm 19 and 16.
That's headcanon.
That's 35.
Correct.
Okay.
That's the brain cells boiling like that egg in that fucking commercial about not doing drugs.
Yes.
This is your brain on drugs.
22 to hit.
It's a scrambled egg.
23 damage.
Okay. It's looking pretty decently damaged. It's going to take a few more solid hits, though.
Are we on chain 3 or 4 right now?
We're on chain 3.
Okay.
Alec.
I'll send Pipsky down to the west.
West. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'll move him.
Oh, let's see.
Oh.
I don't want to do that. That's dumb.
And Pipsky will yell back that, or say something back that she sees Mirael.
I found him.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast Magic Missile at a 4th level. So that should be 64?
Yes.
4.
It's more than that, isn't it?
You start with 3.
Oh, sorry. For some reason, I was thinking it was 44.
9.
Plus 1 for each, too.
Right.
If you didn't calculate that already.
14. So 20.
20 force damage. Okay. The thing is now looking quite damaged. Another big hit or a few smaller ones will probably do it.
I will swing. Or, not I will, but the spiritual weapon will swing itself.
The spiritual weapon, yeah.
Ooh. I don't think 13 hits.
A 13 just hits the chain and then sort of shears off to the side. Clap sync.
No, wait. It's Harry's time to shine.
Chili
Harry. Chili Harry. Chili Harry.
With all the skeletons around, is it Harry and the Deadersons?
It's not bad. Not a great pun, but you're stretching a little bit, but it's not bad. It is a solid try. Didn't make me chuckle.
I wasn't going anything for anything more.
Harry
than
rolls
that.
A nat 1 on the first attack, but then he rolls an 18 on the second. And we'll deal 29 damage.
Whew.
Just think about all the shit that I was doing when you all said I wasn't doing anything by just telling him to fuck off and kill those other things.
Fair.
But the chain is still there. Which brings us to Kellen's turn.
As
far away, Kellen. Echoey Kellen.
Where I left off. Yes, thank you. I will dash. I don't need to concentrate on the dancing lights anymore. I will just take the most expeditious dash back. So diagonal back 50 feet.
And you're dropping the lights?
Yeah, I don't need to concentrate on them anymore.
Okay. And a moment later, the fourth and final chain appears while the third one is still extant.
The third one appears to be hanging on by a thread, Jeff.
Okay.
Harry rolled a 1, but then he turned around and smashed the fuck out of it for 30 damage, so he didn't do poorly. But I'm assuming he's not dealing it magical damage, so it probably is cut in half.
Rook, you're up first.
I'll take a first swing to try and finish off the third chain.
24 certainly hits.
That first one does 15 magical.
Okay, it's still barely hanging on. Link's just right at the edge.
Let's swing again.
Damn, Lord.
You know, I should have gotten two other attacks. I didn't even think about it. When I crit, I'm supposed to get a bonus. I can take one as a bonus action.
Shame.
Yep.
Well, second one's a 21 to hit with 11 magical damage.
Okay, and the chain finally snaps. So you got only the one left, which hasn't been touched yet.
Cool. Claw will go after the fourth chain.
Chopper, sick balls.
There's a 12 to hit.
That is unfortunately just going to rebound off the chain.
Fair enough. That's my turn.
He goes to bite and like his teeth go through the holes in the chain as opposed to clamping down on it.
At the end of your turn, Muriel takes a legendary action and runs into the chamber from the west, with bits of like splinters sticking out of the fur in his coat, and begins like striding over towards the corpse and everything quickly, and he's like, "At first, I thought maybe I had forgotten why I walked into the room, and then I realized that that bitch had been controlling me, and she's dead now. Right? That's what we're doing?
Mostly, yes.
For the moment.
Maybe help hack at the chains and she'll stay that way.
We're on plan number XY-16 right now.
Part B.
Subsection 4.
So, you can't quite reach the chain this turn, so instead, he will go ahead and use his action to transform back into that abomination form.
Those are the type of friends you want to have. Ones who have abomination forms.
So, Nushka.
I'm gonna rage.
Okay.
Because I know we gotta get through this one. And the last one we didn't make it through. Reckless, minus 5. It's a 22.
Okay.
For 23 damage.
Okay.
Second attack. It's a 21. No, 23 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
For 23 damage.
Okay.
Third attack. It's a 21 to hit. For 23 damage.
Okay.
Very consistent.
Yeah.
Chain is still holding pretty solidly at this point. Alec.
Yeah, well, do fourth level again. Magic missile.
Fourth level?
Yeah,
that's decent. 76 or 74.
19, 22, plus
6
is
28. Plus 7. If you do it. No, no, you're right. You're right. Never mind.
27? Is that what you said?
28.
28.
Yeah, it's 22 plus 6.
Okay. So that's. Okay. Looks like two more really good hits or few lesser ones would get through it.
Spectral weapon?
Yep.
For 28 to hit?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Completely forgot. No, that's not. Never mind. Boo. Okay. Yeah. 6.
From the spiritual weapon?
Yeah.
Okay. Next up is Zephorzen Herald.
Let's go, Harry.
It's your moment to shine, Harry.
It walks over to the right, just south of Rook, and begins swinging its big great axe. That's a 17 and a 22. So the damage was going to be 22 and 28.
Pretty decent.
Which, let's see what that does. The chain is pretty close to breaking. There's like one more good hit will probably do it. And it's Kellen's turn.
Fireball.
Right on top of you guys. Perfect. Fireball's well known for its force damage, Greg. Thank you.
I don't think we need that much.
I mean, you can get to the bottom of the stairs, which means you could probably see into the Well, I guess you're flying too, so you could see into the chamber.
Well, what's
so
the
if
range?
You, if you've got something with the range, you could probably hit.
Magic missile, I believe, has the range.
120.
Yeah, I'm checking.
I know. I'm waiting to see what the range is.
All right. Go into the...
Because I'm...
110 feet.
Boom.
He said that he was going to fly in from outside and throw magic missile to get the kill.
I cast magic missile as an 8th level spell.
Maybe a little overkill.
Way.
You see Kellen standing out in the giant chamber, pointing.
Ka-me. No, I just screamed Kobe and cast magic missile. I will do it as a 4th level spell.
Okay.
So it's what? 3, 4, 6?
Don't be a wuss. Cast at 8th level.
I have plans for that 8th level spell. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
It's 3, 1 for 2nd, 1 for 3rd, 1 for 6. 64 plus 6.
6.
If you finish this thing off...
5, 10, like, that's 14, that's 20.
20 force damage?
Correct.
That last chain breaks asunder. All right.
That's some bullshit.
Like, no.
You could not have predicted that that's exactly... You're
roll back that beautiful
it.
Bean footage again.
You fucking called it.
It did. And the thing I'm in control of did like 95 damage too. Not actually to it, but I know it's probably half, but still.
As that last chain is severed, you standing next to her, Anushka, Rook, you suddenly hear Mivalriel gasp. And she looks up from the floor. You can see that her throat is no longer slit. And stands up, looks around at you, says, "What did you do?"
That was the noise I needed earlier for shooting the gun. Are we still on initiative if she's talking to us?
But she doesn't even really wait for an answer.
Oh, well, never mind then.
And sort of just looks up towards the top of the dome, raises both hands, and just, like, begins yelling out, "Aurel, Lady of Air and Darkness, return to your servant once more and look upon me with favor."
Now you're going to want me to have that 8th level spell, right? Remember that? Hey. Belly to back. Belly to back. That's the next maneuver.
And
are we in initiative order still?
Yes, now we have to fight both.
Because I
want to
do something.
Duh. We're actually going to reroll initiative.
Okay.
A spectral sort of form descends out of the ceiling and settles over her shoulders like a creature 15, 20 feet tall, like just like a robe almost with like glowing blue eyes where its head would be. And so you can sort of still see her through this translucent figure. And then she sort of looks around at Muriel, who is appears to be calculating.
Yeah.
And she says, "Let's dance."
Dun, 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 dun. It'll be okay. Do,
do, well, do. That's what I get for being nice.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, mechanical question.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to break my rage? Or is this quickly
because
enough?
Because of what?
Because he hasn't been attacked recently.
Rerolling initiative.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I did think about flipping.
Are you short on them anyway? Is that the first one you've used today?
This might be the second one. I might have raged when I was taking her out the first time.
All right. So Claw does not have separate initiative. Pipsky does not.
Pipsky does not.
Okay.
Forgot to put
that
the,
was not where I went, but
yeah, I know.
I forgot to put the dimensional shackles back on her when we were doing it this time.
You gotta cuff them. Rookie mistake.
Gotta know when to cuff them. Know when to fluff them.
I was going to say, this is going back to the sex thing.
I don't know that I want to hear any other lines of that. Like, normally when somebody starts making up a song, I make them finish. I don't know where you're going with it. And if we're starting with cuffing and fluffing, I think we're done. I think that that's hard stuff. This is a family show.
Since when?
Don't yuck Craig's yum. It's okay, Craig.
It's okay, as far as I've gotten anyway.
I'm going to go pee real quick.
So you have one of those fancy phones with like 16 cameras on the backside?
Yeah. Boop, doo-doo. So you're going to josh him, right?
What do you mean?
Fucking belly to back suplex him into the goddamn astral plane and close the door.
You locked the door.
I didn't lock the door. I created the door.
Yeah, I did not actually
He tried to
door.
Lock the door.
I created a door. Yes.
I created the situation that created a door.
Actually, that was my situation that created the portal.
Well, I'm of the mind now that the vampire is the lesser of the two worries.
Sure, sure, sure. But I'm going to keep the sun spells locked.
I don't know
why
you are all of us guys are seeing him as a, I don't want to say threat, but like...
I'm waiting for the turn. I was waiting for the turn from him and not from her.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, that was naive.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I was going back and reading through the journals, and I got to the point where they were like, the council is like, either get rid of your army or we banish you. And I was like, that really sounds like we could lift the curse just by having her give up the army, but we were already, you know, smashing chains apart.
I think this is the preferred outcome. I like throwing a bag of holding into a bag of holding and making her no longer exist anymore. That was a very Rancor's Brothel ending to a game.
I thought it was awesome.
It'll go up there in the tippy top of plans that this podcast has come up with. I was very pleased. But you know. Instead you got the Mass Effect boss where you've killed it once and now you gotta kill it again kind of thing.
Two health bars.
Yep, yep, yep. And this health bar appears to be bigger.
Yup.
Rawr.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm hopeful we can get through a round before you have to head out.
Got about an hour.
We have two creatures with legendary actions. We'll see. Mavalriel is up first. Oh. Right. So I wrote down a plan for her. And I should have been more specific. Because... I'm like, oh, that's not actually very helpful. Mm-hmm. She is mildly surrounded, which is not real great. She's got Nushka and Rook and Claw and a spiritual weapon and Mireyel all around her.
Good luck doing much. Legendary action, teleport, off. I know.
Well, you can only do legendary actions at the end of someone else's turn. So it's not actually helpful on her turn.
So they should really be more like called legendary reactions. To be more
they
accurate.
Really kind of should, except that, well, basically the wording in terms of technicality in 5e is just kind of f***ed, so. Lots of categories are not clear. Don't even get me started on melee weapon attack versus weapon attack with a melee weapon. Or attack with a melee weapon. Let's see. She is going to cast a spell. Okay.
I think the question was counterspell.
I don't think I'm in range.
Oh.
No, I don't think you are either.
I think it's 100 feet.
I think it's 60. But it's useful to know for sure one way or the other.
It is 60. I'm not nearly close enough yet.
Okay, so she misty steps away to the southwest to the side of the chamber next to one of these vampire spawn, where she takes her huge... Sveihonder, and is going to...
It's a made-up word.
No, it's not. It's a German word.
Can you describe it for means those at home what a Sveihonder is?
A Sveihonder is like if a great sword was greater. In real history, they were mostly used ceremonially because they're so fucking huge. But in fantasy... They're just cool.
Yeah.
They usually have guns attached to them in Final Fantasy VII.
I was going to say, yeah, like, we're talking cloud sword here?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, no, it doesn't have a gigantically thick blade.
But I did hear you write Zweihander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Gotcha. Thanks for assisting those at home.
Yep. So they can Google it too. They have hands and interwebs.
They have Zweihands.
Yes, indeed. A lot of them have in front of the hilt, like 6 inches or so, an extra little pair of spikes coming out from the blade that are very useful for catching swords that are coming down it, or for if you catch the blade on the hilt and get it between the hilt and the other spike coming out, you can twist it and try to disarm them.
Cool.
Now, whether or not that actually happened very much historically, I have no idea. But they're obviously there for a reason. And Medivalriel's is also sort of has misty frost emanating from it all the time. And so she gets in a couple swings with this.
Yes, we get it. She likes cold.
Yes.
How'd she move?
Misty step. Okay. And
I'm sorry, Troy. That's just, to me, that's one of, like, the funniest things you said this whole campaign.
Really? Really?
I mean, have you heard the things Troy said?
That's fair.
You can all eat a big fat dick.
With
like the size of a Zweihander, or
however big you want it to be,
or it's got two little nubs that poke out the side.
Two extra dicks, one to the left and right of the main dick.
With two heavy swings, she brings down the first vampire spawn, and then takes a 5-foot step to the side and swings again, back and forth. And with the, how much is the second? She badly bloodies the second one, but does not bring it down.
So are we going to get in this fight, or are we going to sidestep it like the last time they went at each other?
I mean, I have some thoughts.
And so now it goes to the vampire spawn up here to the west of the chamber, a little bit past Pipsky. Oops, do not clip. Don't want conditions. Go away. What can they do? Ah, yes. Okay, got it. So it begins sprinting 30 feet, which actually will get it just right next to Mavalriel. And it will go ahead and swing its longsword, which is actually just going to be deflected off of her bony ribcage armor. And at the end of its turn, she's going to use a legendary action. She will just go ahead and swing the sword again, because, you know, why not? Why break with the classics? So she, with one mighty strike, takes the vampire spawn from being fine to being bloodied. And then at the end of her legendary action, Mirael is going to take a legendary action.
It's a lot of legendary actions going on.
Yup. And he is just going to use his legendary action to move and get right up in her face so that he is ready for later troubles. And a moment later, the whole elm chamber begins to shake slightly under your feet. And there's a rumbling sound, and then a whole bunch of icicles from the ceiling begin falling.
Seems not great.
So Rookclaw and Nushka, go ahead and make dex saves.
That is a 20.
Okay. What have you got, Craig?
I'm going to burn a flash of genius on that. Get 24.
Genius!
Okay. So both of you are able to dodge to the side and take only 5 points of damage. And then we make it to Kellen. who is still down the hall quite a ways.
If I move 25 feet, how far does that put me away from the fight?
25 feet. Whoops, I was using the measuring tool. 25 feet would get you just shy of the main doors at the bottom of the corridor, so still another 50 feet away.
I can't see the map.
Yeah, another 50 feet or so to the chamber entrance.
Oh, okay, so I'm still pretty far out of it. I'm going to move. I'll dash then. I'll move another 25. And I will yell, "Get her, Harry!"
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to start singing.
Nice.
Hey, Oberon. Bum, 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 bum. You should probably help us with this.
I think it takes 5 minutes, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. It was just a magical song. I mean, she reached out and said, "Hey, help me out." So I figured it's worth a shot to do the same.
Like, I know I made it take shorter than the normal spell, but I'm pretty sure it still takes 5 minutes.
How?
I will begin singing as if Oberon should probably be invested in this, since, you know. Mab is on the other side. Oberon and Titania, you should come here. We've got a big problem on the material plane. Maybe they'll notice.
At the end of your turn, Mirael is going to take a legendary action to bite at Mivalriel, but fails by one to hit her AC. Nushka. I like that there's also just... There's just a portal to the astral plane chilling over there.
It's got a door over it.
That's true.
Believe me, I had not forgotten about that.
Pipsky is going to run down. This is my test. She's going to run down around the vampires.
Okay.
Do any of them take swings at her?
Ah.
Bark, bark.
No.
Okay. Nushka runs down 20 feet. And hops on Pipsky.
Okay.
And...
Giddy up.
I don't know that it's going to do any good, but I think that that Nushka would, after hearing what she says, she would call out to Titania and call for aid.
Gondor calls for aid.
Light the beacons!
Yeah, I don't know that it'll do any good, but...
Ha, 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 Oberon, please come help.
She would say something very similar to what she heard Melvariel say.
Okay. The beacons are lit. Yes, they're totally dope.
Except she would call out to Titania. Okay. Reckless, -5. That's an 18 to hit. I bet that's not going to hit.
An 18, she gets her Zweihand right in the way. And deflects you off to the side.
Okay. Second attack.
Phony baloney sword.
A 20?
A 20 will hit.
20 will hit. Hit. 28 points of damage.
Okay.
Last attack.
That's a pretty good roll.
Not as good as I would have liked, but... add 4 more points of damage to the last one.
Okay.
Because of my rage. And this would be 18, plus 18. God, 26.
Okay.
For the last attack.
Is that you then?
That's me.
Okay.
And I will mark her. Cavalier's mark.
Okay. That's a bonus action?
Nope.
It's just a thing.
That's whenever
when
I
you
someone.
Attack.
Yep.
Nana, nana, boo, boo.
So all of you in the Elm Chamber hear suddenly a loud voice from somewhere, and you're pretty sure it's Oberon's voice, and it just says, "Hang on, we're talking about it."
La, la, la. Not so useless. You, Troy, I do good most of the time.
I don't think he means you.
I don't. So I don't know about most. I'll give you 40%.
Wow! Kellen turns around and flies out of the room. Stonewall. Permanence. Get f***ed.
See, this is typical.
At the end of your turn, Mevalriel will take a legendary action. And as she is swinging her blade at the vampire, she will look over at Nushka and just sort of, like, in almost like a bit of disbelief. And she's like, I could have given you anything. I still can.
But given the chance, you went right back.
Do anything for love. But I won't do that.
And she lands a heavy strike on the vampire.
Which vampire?
The vampire, as opposed to the spawn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Capital T.
Oh, it took me a second. It's like, vampire or spawn do not have T.
Vampire. Help me remember. Vampire. I get a bonus action attack on my next turn.
Okay.
And let me make sure that there's not anything else that happens because of that.
Rook, you're up.
So you attacked Mevalriel, yes?
Hang on a second.
Yes,
he did. If a creature marked by you deals damage to anyone other than you, you can make a special melee attack against the marked creature as a bonus action on your turn. You have the advantage on the roll if it hits the weapon's attack.
Okay.
Extra damage equal to half your fighter level.
So on your next turn, you get an extra attack as a bonus action.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was something that reduced the damage to him or something like that.
Ah, right.
But that's just warding maneuver.
Warding.
Warding.
Got a warding maneuver. Rook.
Rook, 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 rook.
I gotta read something here real quick.
He makes things explode. Rook to C4.
I do know that... I know it's out of turn here, but... I'm gonna have... Claw is going to move. Claw can't occupy the same space as this column, correct? Next to Mevalriel.
Who can't occupy what same space?
I think that's a chair.
Is that a chair?
That's a councilman's chair.
Can Claw occupy that space or no?
You can. It's ethereal.
Okay, cool. That's where Claw is going to move to. I'll probably move up a little bit. Oh, actually. Oh, yeah. I totally can. Rook is going to cast Summon Construct.
Uh-huh.
I have to decide what form it's going to be in, though.
I like how every major D&D fight I feel like I've played in a while at high level just eventually becomes like, did you ever play hockey in gym class and all the kids stood around and beat the hell out of each other's ankles with sticks? That's like what every major combat in D&D devolves into. How much shit can we put in the fucking way so the major character can't run away?
Or, you know, other characters do area effects that would do things, but now
you are. Hey, they have saved for a reason. Uh-huh.
Casual endangerment is funny. It is sometimes.
What are you doing your construct?
Well, so I got to pick one or three forms it comes in. The way this reads says, a creature that touches the construct or hits it with a melee attack. Now, a creature that touches the construct, what if the construct punches it? Does that count as touching the construct?
I would presume not.
Okay.
We're trying it to be decides weekend. I'm wondering her.
I wondered. He was still up when I went up.
Yeah. Well, and I walked up there and looked around like I didn't see Broja. She was outside, I guess. And I asked him, are you supposed to be in bed? He's like, no.
I make the rules.
All right. This construct will be of stone form.
Which
means its special ability is whenever a creature the construct can see starts its turn within 10 feet of the construct can force it to make a wisdom saving throw against your spell save DC. Oh, failed save, can't use reactions, and speed is halved. That's its special ability. But otherwise, I'm going to form it just south of where Rook is, between Rook and Claw. And I assume it's going to follow my initiative?
I assume so. What does the spell say?
Yes, it does share my initiative. It takes its turn immediately after mine.
And what is, what's its size?
Medium. It's a medium construct spirit.
Oh.
Medium construct. Okay. What's its speed?
30 feet.
Okay, cool.
And it has dark vision 60.
Ah, now that is relevant. How much HP does it have?
40.
40. Okay. Everything else we can just run off of what you've got in front of you.
Sure.
And because it's the token I had, it looks like a wolf.
Okay.
A very shadowy wolf. Where'd you want it?
Between Claw and Rook.
Okay.
Right there, yeah.
And let me also just give you control over it real quick. Okay. Why did that move? Okay, and then it moves next, right?
Yeah, it and Claw both go after me. So it's going to do its slam multi-attack. So it gets to attack twice. Plus five to hit.
And welcome to the jam.
The Space Jam.
Come on and slam, Craig.
Rolls a 13 and a 21 for its two attacks.
On Mavalriel?
Yes.
Okay, the 20 whatever will hit.
And 1d8 plus 4. Okay. It does 1d8 plus 8 damage, which comes out to 14.
Okay. So it successfully chomps on her ankle.
And then Claw will take his bite.
I guess not chomps. Hits.
Yes.
Because it's a construct.
Rock smash.
Claw rolled an 11 to hit.
That is, just going to catch air.
Okay. That's my turn.
Okay. Moment later, one of the vampire spawn runs across the room, but then sort of pivots as it comes and gets in front of the frozen herald and is going to take a swipe at it.
Who's taking a swipe at my herald?
This vampire spawn. It'll hit. It'll deal 5 whole damage.
Motherfucker, you step back the fuck off, Harry.
At the end of its turn, Muriel is going to take a legendary action and try once again to attack Mavalriel. And do so successfully, get past her armor, and sinks its abominable teeth into her shoulder for some damage. And then, a moment later, it's his turn proper. You see some of his wounds begin stitching themselves up. And he's going to stick with the good old bite and claws combination. Bite, claw, claw. So once again, manages to sink his jaws onto her shoulder, and then a claw comes in from either side, fast with long, like razor sharp, like death claws almost. This thing is actually sort of similar, except it has ears instead of horns. The first attack, though, is going to be parried, but the second manages to get through and does a bit of damage, not a ton. And then at the end of his turn, Mavalriel is going to take a legendary action in response and holds out. She's busy using the sword to parry some other incoming attack and holds out her left hand towards Muriel, and a purplish energy like sort of waves and like a tendril sort of connects the two of them. Wait, that's the wrong creature for the saving throw. Well, Muriel was in that one. Sucks for him. You can see the vampire's already a bit shriveled face shrivel a little bit more, and a few of Mavalriel's wounds seem to close themselves up. And then we go to the vampire spawn that's right next to her and already badly wounded. It's going to just lunge forward and try and bite her, and will fail to do so. Next up is the Frozen Herald, Harry. Harry swings his very large great axe at the vampire spawn in front of him.
In a very tight space.
Hits once, hits twice and does a total of 59 damage.
Ooh.
Taking that vampire spawn from ready to very bloody. Oh. And then we're to Alec. Sadly, at the bottom of the initiative order.
Yeah. That really would do much good.
What's that?
You think that really would do much good?
Maybe. Table talk, I see.
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
Rook might not enjoy it.
I don't know. Probably not.
I'll be fine. I don't know what
if
you're
not,
planning.
You won't hear him say anything. I guarantee you he won't say a word about
apparently
it.
Apparently you've all developed telepathy?
I have no idea what they're talking about, actually.
Not sure what the hell. I'm going to back up 10 feet towards the trapdoor.
It's okay. Just when you're making all your monsters fight each other, we're able to to table talk a lot easier and you don't notice as much.
I'll move there. I can't move. How do I move?
I'm not sure why it's not letting you, but there you go.
Yeah. And I suppose centered on Mavario, I'm going to cast Silence.
Hmm. Interesting. It has to be centered on object, is that right?
No, it's a space.
A point in space. Okay.
Yep.
I think I'm getting my additions mixed up.
Yeah. Can my spiritual weapon occupy shared space, or does it have to...
Have it float above her.
Can that happen?
Yeah, you could go diagonally in 5 feet.
Sure.
Also, what's the radius on silence?
It's 20.
20-foot radius?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Come on.
We don't have to listen to any of your shit, Craig.
Unfortunately, still yours.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting in there.
Okay, so now we have a template there, and that encompasses most of that battle that's happening there. All now happening in eerie silence.
I guess I didn't need to move as far as I did.
Kellen goes, noise!
What's next?
Yeah, I'm going to hit her with my spiritual weapon.
Okay, so it floats 20 feet. Yeah, it could sort of be above that vampire spawn, and then just hacking downward.
18?
And 18 will not hit. It just gets deflected by her Zweihänder in one as part of a sweeping arc.
Got it.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. So at the top of the round, it is Mavariel's turn. And she is in silence.
Craig is now talk to texting since he is in silence. I appreciate the bit, but this is in fact an audio drama.
Fair enough.
Unless you're going to type it out in goddamn Morse code or something.
Morse code?
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach Morris.
Who's Morris?
At the beginning of Malvariel's turn,
the singer for that band,
she makes a wisdom saving throw DC 18.
This is why?
Because of my construct.
It's like a gaze attack.
Yeah.
Swear to me.
It's special form. It can see a creature within 10 feet of it. It can force that creature to make wisdom saving throw.
Okay. This isn't a spell, right? It's an ability?
It's an ability, not a spell.
She rolls a 25.
Cool. Nothing happens.
But that rock looks pissed.
I am looking angrily at you. Look at me!
Of course, it's silent, so you hear nothing.
Oh, yes. Right. Which is also not interesting for audio drama.
Nope. A little bit.
Okay, so Mavalriel is going to disengage.
And go where?
It's a great question, honestly.
Okay, you still have Sentinel, right?
No, I do not. Actually, I don't think I do.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Remember what she said about
would pretty much have to pass through somebody's square.
Yeah, I do not have Sentinel. All
right.
Troy is even bashing her on top with a goddamn spiritual weapon.
Well, the other question is, which spells don't require vocal components?
Not many. It sucks. Silence is a pretty dickish spell.
You just about have to be a sorcerer to get around it.
Certainly for most things.
Yeah, I was going to say, we definitely learned that in Curse of Strahd.
Here's an interesting tidbit. Counterspell does not.
Interesting.
That right there, though, that screenshot is exactly the kids with the goddamn hockey sticks all around each other, beating the shit out of each other's shins.
Yep.
Troy's even reaching his hockey stick up over the top, as if that is somehow where the puck is. I'll get in there. I also imagine kids, you know, it's in soccer do the same thing, but I love the visual of the shitty blue and red plastic hockey sticks beating each other.
So she is going to, with one hand, keep the Svihandr moving around as basically just a to block, and then hold out her left hand towards this vampire spawn here. And once again,
am I within 60 feet?
Purple magical energy goes
from... doesn't sound like something I can do with.
From her to the spawn.
Is that an attack?
It is an attack, yes.
Then Claw will use its reaction to impose disadvantage.
The Claw.
The Claw. Disadvantage is nice.
Well, it's an attack, but the creature makes a save. I mean, I suppose I could give or advantage on the
save. It's a disadvantage on an attack roll. So if it's not an attack roll.
Okay, then... it's not.
Okay.
So I guess it wouldn't apply. The spawn is going to fail that check. And all that remains of its life force is just suddenly like the end of Last Crusade as it goes back into like basically a gaunt skeleton before dropping to the ground. And Mephalriel looks a little healthier.
I would say that that's not a good sign, but I can't say anything right now.
Let's see. That's a spiritual weapon. What's underneath that? A vampire spawn. She is going to whip around and do the same thing to the other vampire spawn, which goes ahead and makes a save and fails that save and similarly gets drained to a husk. It was already pretty wounded, but now it's dead. And then, lastly, she brings her sword back to bear and goes to town on Mireille with a couple slashes. And rolls a nat 1. It gets caught on the construct for a second.
To be fair, you could also disimpose advantage on these since these are straight up attacks.
That's true. Do you want to? Claw?
Yes.
Okay.
I only get to do it on one, so I'll do it on just the first one.
Okay, roll the nat 1. Yeah, well. The second attack will hit then, and carves a good chunk out of the vampire.
Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Warding maneuver. Add 4 to his AC.
4 to his AC. That would do it. Okay.
You are defending the vampire, though. I don't know if that's a great call, but I mean...
At least I feel like I'm doing something.
It's fair.
The enemy of my enemy.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like the third phase of the fight is going to be exercising vampires.
So, yeah, right as the Zweihander is coming down, you get your sword right, sort of just the tip of it hits the blade and it's enough to shear it off to the side.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea. You're like grandmama, like block, sees he's not going to get it, reaches over, blocks it, and then like gives her the finger underneath the shield.
Kellen, you're up.
I believe if I counted out right, 25 feet will put me one square south of La Portal.
Yes.
Which also puts me within,
5 feet of
like
Alec.
5 feet of Alec and like 30 feet of the middle of that fight, roughly.
Maybe even less than that.
Yeah, less than that.
Thanks. Jeff, you're hasted.
That'll do, pig.
Okay, how does haste work? Where does that extra attack go in?
Plus 2 bonus to AC. Advantage on dexterity saving throws and gains an additional action.
Not an additional attack, an additional action.
On each of its turns, it can be used to take attack, dash, disengage, hide, or use an object. The attack is one weapon attack only.
Okay.
So I'm giving you an extra weapon attack and plus 2 AC.
How does that work with action surge? Do I technically get three actions?
Yeah.
He's a third level spell.
So.
And I fist bump Alec. Like,
I'll look at the text.
Okay.
And Alec leaves you hanging?
Absolutely.
The silence was a good call. Now you're thinking like a master strategist.
Gains an additional action on each of its turns.
I know you so still have additional. Other things up your.
Okay. Yeah,
up
so your if you took action search, you'd have. Yeah.
Another action.
Okay. Yeah. But if this goes poorly.
But the haste one is limited in its uses.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought about that.
Okay. I figured you probably had. It's all I've got in my up my sleeve right now.
Almost like Jeff beat the f*** out of her for the, like, 17th time in a row.
Worked pretty well the other times.
I'm going to let, you know, goddamn Conan's grandmother over here just beat the ever-living f*** out of her until...
Is that you, Kellen?
Yeah.
Okay. In that
I'm
case...
I'm still singing my fun song.
Fun song!
Oberon, check this out, beating the s*** out of her. But this is all winter cord bullshit. You should help before she gets in here. Because I think that she might really cast something and it will go real bad.
Oberon's voice fills the dome, except for the part that's in silence. and says, that's not how it goes. But... You is like, he says, but then there's a bit of a sigh. He's like, but fine. And you feel the effects of Oberon's song coming over you nonetheless. So you now have the effects of a hero's feast on you.
What does that do again?
Good things. Gives you advantage on wisdom saves. Makes you immune to poison. I can't remember what else.
Hit point maximum also increases by 2d10. And it gains the same number of hit points. Everybody goes up 2d10 hit points.
See, you get it. Once you start with the cashews, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
I thought that was Pringles.
Applies here as well.
Cured of all diseases
once
and poisons.
Once you pop, you just can't stop these nuts.
And being frightened.
Okay. I have it open.
Okay, good.
Wow.
So
a never-ending orgasm. Okay.
Who's rolling 2d10?
I will.
All right, there you go.
I assumed Oberon did, in which case he should
make
roll two
ones.
Tens. 3.
12.
Nice.
12? Nice.
Everybody's hit point maximum goes up 12, and you gain 12 hit points.
Da, 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 da.
Does that put you over 3 hundo yet, Jeff?
No, I don't think so.
No. Oh, the hundo.
Plus max 12.
Silence, concentration.
Yep. Yes.
Come.
That's why I moved away.
Yeah,
1.
Yeah. No, you're good.
I wanted to get outside the bubble.
Well, yeah.
If you put it in the plus max box, it doesn't change anything. You have to keep the sheet up to see it. Oh, well. No, that puts me up to 228.
It's rookie numbers. Gotta bump those up. You're only half a Tarrasque.
I'm at 145. That's the best I've ever been.
And you got a goddamn wizard over here that's almost 120, so...
So is it my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Reckless minus 5. First attack. Crit.
Nat 20.
Ba, 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 ba.
Two more nat 20s. Confirm that kill.
I'm like, two more nat 20s, you get a free set of steak knives.
It slices, it dices, slap chop.
Also makes julienne fries. Will not break.
Nice.
That's pretty fucking good, Jeff.
Eat Brooks.
Jeff's got a whole bunch of fives and 1 6. God damn.
52 points of damage.
Woo!
On the first swing.
Do it again.
Second attack.
I bet he can't do it again.
Nope. 19 to hit.
19 will hit.
So 19 is the barrier.
For 24 points of damage.
Okay.
Nope, that's an 18 to hit.
That one she parries.
Okay. Haste attack.
Okay.
Crit.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Not
yes.
20!
Who'd have thought adding a third level spell would make such a difference? I did.
Right, because it gives advantage too, doesn't it?
No.
No? Oh.
That's less impressive, but still not bad.
It's 29 points of damage.
Okay.
You're at like 100 and
action surge.
Four.
I thought that might happen.
That's a good one.
23 to hit.
Okay.
Oh, that was not a crit. I should not have rolled that many dice. 30 points of damage.
Okay.
Nice.
Second attack.
Motherfucker.
That's a crit. God damn.
Oh, motherfucker.
Holy shit.
I hit the back button on my foundry, which locked me out.
You're at like 140 damage, roughly, so
yeah,
far.
Dave, we are going to need you to total up how much he did.
Oh, I'm keeping track.
No.
I keep track of her total hit points, but not who does what.
Someone listening, figure out what the total he just did was.
It's
do work for us.
I'm not done yet.
It's about 140 and we're counting.
All right, so what was that? What was the most recent attack?
The most recent attack is a crit.
What was the damage?
The damage is... Oh, my God. 36.
Okay.
So third attack of the action surge.
So does that 36 come before or after the 140?
After.
Okay, so we're at like 175-ish.
Yes.
20 to hit.
21 hit?
It's all ones and twos. Reroll that.
Much better.
9 plus 18 is 27.
So okay. About 200 damage.
Yeah, no, it's like just...
Bonus probably. Action attack. because of the ward or the mark.
And you're not 50. Even a pure fighter.
Nope. 21 damage or 21 to hit.
Okay.
It's gonna be like another 20.
27 points of damage.
Okay. So as Nushka unleashes this flurry of blows, not monk version, probably faster than a monk. At least this turn. All of these hits that you're seeing connect are making this spectral figure that's towering over her. Its robes are getting like torn and a little bit more. They're not tattered yet at all, but they're definitely showing quite a lot of wear and tear now. Mevalriel herself is still unscathed.
Jesus.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.